Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
This is Brannon House Live. Whether the issue is law, science, economics, history, family, social issues, education, religion, government, or national security, Brannon brings the issues of the day into clear focus through the lens of a Judeo-Christian worldview. And now, here is your host, Brannon House.
Good evening. Welcome. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined tonight by Ivan Raiklin, and then we'll be joined by Susan Swift, and then we'll be joined by Karen Kingston. If I have time, I want to play a little video clip. The first time I met Carrie Lake, about 18 months ago, she walked up to me at CPAC Dallas a year ago this past summer, so about 18 months ago. She had one person with her. One person. That's it. Not an entourage, just one person. And she walked up to me and she said, hi, I'm Carrie Lake. I'm running for governor of Arizona. Would you be interested in interviewing me? And we were in a commercial break. I said, sure. And I thought I recognized her, and I couldn't figure out why it is I recognized her. The reason I recognized her is because I actually had her in one of my documentaries where she was a newscaster I think it was a National Geographic documentary on power outages, and I actually had used that footage a lot, and I didn't know that she wasn't an actor. She actually was a newscaster, and so it made sense that they used a newscaster for this documentary, posing as a newscaster who really was a newscaster. So anyway, I thought, well, she looks familiar, looks so familiar to me, and I found out who she was, and we sat and visited, and then after we visit for a few minutes, I said, all right, pull it out of commercial breaks. Let's go. And we went live. And if time allows, I'd like to share some of that with you tonight. Maybe not all 13 minutes, but 13 minutes of our first interview with Carrie Lake 18 months ago. And it's all, you know, kind of interesting because today a judge actually said, yeah, I'm going to let her case go forward, which means apparently, I guess, Katie Hobbs is going to get put under oath. Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, who was the gubernatorial candidate on the Democrat side, gets put under oath. So very interesting day. Good news. That's good news. But, man, a lot has happened in the last 18 months, has it not? All right, let's go to Ivan Raiklin. Ivan Raiklin, former Green Beret commander and a constitutional attorney. Ivan Raiklin. Hey, Ivan, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Brandon, that just rolled off the tongue. You got my name pronounced right. Excellent. I'm moving up in the world, man.
I've just been practicing. I've been standing in front of the mirror practicing for days. There you go. By the way,
beautiful mirror.
The uniform was hanging over there by the dartboard. Now it's moved over here. That's how perceptive I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm over the target now, and I like to be very unconventional. So instead of hitting bullseyes or double bullseyes, which only garner 50 points, I go after the triple 20s, which give you 60 points. You see all six of them?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I do. I see that. Do you really play a lot of darts?
Yeah, with the kids, the boys.
That's good. All right, so Kevin McCarthy. Man, this guy just gives me the heebie-jeebies, but hey, that's just me.
Oh.
And now...
This guy's a walking counterintelligence time bomb.
And now...
Just keep ticking and ticking.
And in my worldview report tonight, I reported that President Trump is saying, hey, some of my friends are backing him. you know, Matt Gaetz. And if you are not backing him,
some
of my friends are not backing him, Matt Gaetz and a few others that were listed in my report. And President Trump is saying, hey, they're good friends of mine. I really like them. But, you know, we're going to end up with someone far worse if we don't knock this off. And
there's nothing worse. Kevin's the worst. He's totally leveraged by Liz Cheney. Here's what people don't understand. And maybe President Trump, with all due respect, I am investigating this, and hopefully this gets to you, sir. Bottom line is Kevin McCarthy in 2015 had to bow out of the speaker's race because of his impropriety with a congresswoman by the name of Elmers. And so he had to back out because his colleagues on the Republican conference requested that if anybody has transgressions in their background that don't want to come to light, to then bring discredit to the conference, to the Republican Party, and then to the speakership and the House body in general, then go ahead and bow out. So at a time when he was about to become speaker at 10 a.m. that day, by noon, Kevin McCarthy said, you know what, I'm out of this race, because he didn't want all the public scrutiny applied to him as it applies to that transgression and others. Guess what's happened since then, Brandon? And actually, guess what's happened since President Trump I did an interview on Breitbart on Friday, I believe it was, and he basically, what the quote was, you know, why don't you just give Kevin McCarthy a shot? Well, he's already gotten his shot in 2015. He's gotten his shot in 2022 when he only garnered 188 votes, clearly not enough for the 218. And, like, how many more shots does he need? Does he need the Moderna, the Pfizer, and the J&J all in the collective shots? I mean, how many times is he going to be given an opportunity? Mr. President, with all due respect, he's gotten more than three shots. He struck out on all of them. And so now it's time to move on and actually find the strongest candidate that has enough leverage over the party to then go on absolute offense against the executive branch. And again, with all due respect, which you've earned, that is you, Mr. President. And you can be in the temporary role as Speaker of the House and going through the methodical process of what needs to be done to push back against the executive branch overreach. You get your immunity, but then it's the process of moving the country from TDS to TRS until your reinstatement. And that could happen by January 20th for all. You know, you may only be the Speaker of the House for 2.5 weeks or maybe several weeks. And then maybe we can consider Jim Jordan to then take that gavel after he crushes it on the Judiciary Committee for that first 3 or 4 weeks of January. That would be my recommendation.
So are you telling me that right now McCarthy doesn't have the votes?
No, it's not me saying it. It's Matt Gaetz saying it. It's Lauren Boebert saying it. It's Congressman Norman from South Carolina, Bob Good from Virginia. Matt Gaetz, we talked about Florida. Matt Rosendale from Montana. And then those are the ones that are publicly facing because they're taking the heat. I'm being told through basically communicating with maybe or maybe not those individuals I mentioned and others in the mix that are telling me it's way more than that. Those are just the publicly facing ones so they can get the, you know, darts thrown at them, you know, right? And then you have probably upwards of 30 more. Again, you had 36 that voted against McCarthy in the primary, if you will, where he couldn't garner the 218 votes. So you're going to start seeing, you know, as we're discussing it like you and I are, as the discussion and debate is occurring between Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now a lap dog, puppy dog for Kevin McCarthy, not sure what that's all about, and then having a spat with Lauren Boebert, people are going to start to see and scrutinize and discern for themselves why that spat is going on, and it doesn't favor Kevin McCarthy, because the more scrutiny you apply to Kevin McCarthy, the more exposed to all his transgressions he becomes, the FTX corrupt-laden money that he received. Now that the FTX money is out there and people have been defrauded, you have the Southern District of New York U.S. attorney by the name of Mr. Williams, who worked with acting Attorney General Merrick Garland back in the day, who's going to be going only after those accounts that were, I should say, FTX money that was sent over to Republican candidates rather than Democrats, because that's just the game, the political nature of this, right? So then Kevin McCarthy is now going to be under scrutiny for receiving illegally obtained campaign funds from FTX. And that U.S. attorney is going to be working with a guy by the name of Ryan Salome, who is the bagman along with bagman for Republican donations from FTX. Meanwhile, Sam Bankman-Fried and his parents were the bagmen and woman for the donations to the Democrat Party. The Democrat side is not going to be prosecuted unless there's a Speaker Trump. The Republican side is going to be persecuted by the Southern District of New York. So from the very get-go, this guy is already completely compromised. And that's only one component of a counterintelligence investigation that I'm doing, Brandon. I'm already on number 4 of 13 adjudicative guidelines. And on the first 4, he clearly doesn't pass muster for his sexual transgressions, for his loyalty to the United States with all this activity, his foreign preference and his foreign influence. I didn't even mention about the China connection that National File just talked about 2 days ago. I mean, this guy is, like I said before, an absolute nuclear ticking time bomb of a counterintelligence risk to our country at a time when the number 1 and the number 2 of our country are completely Chinese captured assets. We can't have it. Otherwise, our country completely collapses. He has to move on. He has to just step aside from his candidacy.
Speaking of National File, looky here at this headline right here. David Giglio or Giglio? David Giglio. Kevin McCarthy is controlled opposition. Now, who is this guy? David Giglio, host of America First Live and vice president of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly of Madera County, California, blasted Kevin McCarthy as the establishment back choice for the next U.S. Speaker of the House. He said, you thought Paul Ryan was bad. Kevin will be worse.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Paul Ryan is 1,000 times better than Kevin McCarthy. Paul Ryan is the one backing Kevin McCarthy to be the Speaker of the House. So one thing, Brandon, if you can bring up
– let me get this part of it, though, this here. What's this mean? Kevin McCarthy is part of the World Economic Forum? What? What do you know about that? Anything?
I don't know anything about that. I'll have to take a look at it. I don't discount it, but I haven't seen any evidence of that. That's just a statement by David Giglio. He may be right, but I'd have to take a look at it. One other thing is if you pull up, there was an article by – I hate to say this, but one of the New York disinformation purveyors by the name of, I think, Yorker or something like that, right? They basically put out a statement where one of, if not the mentor for Kevin McCarthy, came out publicly, and I think Mediate echoed that in an article in the last 24 hours, Mediate and New Yorker. They talked about how he was Kevin McCarthy's mentor, and he's just blasting him for being an absolute liar. Kevin McCarthy will say and do whatever is necessary in order to get to his objectives. There you go.
Washington Examiner, he lies. Kevin McCarthy's political mentor rips him as liar in scathing attack. That was just yesterday.
Right, and so that's a prelude. I'm going to actually throw that. So the number 5 of the 13 intelligence adjudicative guidelines when you're looking at someone's counterintelligence risk is the kind of total person concept on whether they're trustworthy or not. And so that's number 5. I'm wrapping things. I'm going to wrap it up right after we get off of this show, and it's going to include some of the evidence that's referred to right there that you brought up on how even people that are so close to him do not trust him. They're his mentor, his spouse. I mean, look at everything.
What do you mean his spouse?
Well, what about the 2015 discussion that we've had over the last couple times I've been on this show?
I'm just saying, has his spouse come out and made public statements?
Not a public statement. Okay, let me clarify. You're right. She has not made a public statement, but all the allegations that essentially you put two and two together, right? There's not just smoke. There's fire where he had to back out of his speakership before. So all this stuff in the collective – just he needs to step away, you know, save himself from an absolute embarrassment, because if he doesn't step away, we're just going to continue to embarrass him. It's not good for the country. It puts the Republican conference in a very compromising position where they can't really plan on how things are going to look into January 3rd. I mean, we're 2 weeks out and he's still in the race and he's basically putting at risk the pink trickle that just happened over the last election so that Republicans can start to get after it and go after the DOJ, go after the FBI, go after the DHS for all their unlawful censorship activities, the disinformation that they were promulgating over the last 2 years that Elon Musk has exposed even as recently as today with the Department of Defense with Twitter files number 8.
Yeah.
I mean, we need a bold wartime speaker.
As a former Green Beret commander and a constitutional attorney, let me have you respond to that. Over at worldviewreport.com, the aggregated news site we monitor and I update every day, worldviewreport.com. There's my Worldview Report news show. Then there's the website, okay? FBI paid Twitter $3.5 million to do its bidding. Taxpayers' money was used to suppress Hunter Biden laptop story and process agency's request to silence GOP voices as fury mounts over secret state censorship of the American people. Counselor, did the FBI, did the FBI just break the law?
So let's take a look at this. Just for the layperson out there, you know, you don't have to be a lawyer or anything. Here's the deal. If you are paying your asset or agent to do your bidding for you, that is known as being a spy, right? Next up, if you are a confidential human source because you are having an engagement relationship with the FBI to provide them information and context and atmospherics, you're a confidential human source. Guess what? Spying on American citizens without a lawful FISA, which I question the whole FISA process, but let's just assume that that's a legitimate process. Did they do a FISA process? They did not. And so now we're in the position where, just like we had the Church Pike Commission after the overreach of the FBI, I think Elon Musk just put out there that I agree with him. There needs to be a massive Pike Church, not only commission, but these people need to be prosecuted. It's been quite some time that somebody has been convicted of treason in this country, and I think it's about way past due time that we not only investigate, prosecute, criminal refer, jail, and then convict, and then have the maximum consequence for treason. Because this is – the FBI is absolutely lawless. So the only way we do the body check – again, a Speaker of the House that is willing to go in the most maximum law offensive, aggressive manner possible to reset our constitutional order. Absent that, our country's collapsing.
So who do you – if President Trump isn't, you know, going to take up the challenge to be the Speaker, which seems to me to be a very strategic move for many reasons we've discussed in the past, but if he doesn't, who else who are you going for? Andy Biggs, who are you going for?
So temporary Speaker Trump until pending his reinstatement. And then I would say Jim Jordan is probably the most I love Andy Biggs. Don't get me wrong. Andy Biggs is great. But I look at it this way. If I'm basically advising whoever I need to advise, the reason why I choose Jim Jordan, and many people will disagree with me on this, is that you need somebody that can go and start to tear down the institutions that have destroyed our country over the last couple of years. And those are the DOJ, FBI in particular, and the DHS. So whoever is in the strongest position to provide maximum leverage to investigate and the knowledge surrounding going after all the way back to Crossfire Hurricane in 2016, I mean, maybe even Devin Nunes. I'm just thinking out loud right now. Devin Nunes might be the best person to be able to go back and push back against all of that. He was a sitting member of Congress. You don't have to be a member, right? So Jim Jordan or Devin Nunes. Devin Nunes, I think now that we're just talking about this, might be the best one to really get after it.
Well, isn't that interesting? All right. So what other things are you tracking that you want to – anything else you're tracking tonight you want to tell our audience about?
One other thing about – I just wanted to, you know, beat the dead horse on Kevin McCarthy. People don't realize that he's compromised. Like you said in your report, this guy's compromised, that Giglio just said. He's compromised by Liz Cheney. For those people that aren't – you know, you need to be a critical thinker. Remember when that audio recording came out where Kevin McCarthy was saying that he was going to talk to President Trump and ask for his resignation, Brandon? Remember that?
Yep.
Well, guess where that recording came from? It came from Lizzie Cheney recording her conversations with him. What other material does she have that is hanging over Kevin McCarthy's head so that at any point in time, Lizzie can say, hey, Kev, remember that conversation we had about this and this? And I recorded it. You don't want that to come out now, do you? So if you don't want that to come out, then how about you vote in this manner or suggest this or do this for me in the uniparty? And then Kev is going to be, oh, absolutely, because I want to be the Speaker of the House. I'm going to do whatever you want, Liz. Yeah, it's just disgusting.
All right, so let me ask you on another level, totally different topic, national security, former Green Beret commander. How concerned are you about the national security state of our country, and what do you think are the greatest threats right now?
All right. I am massively concerned. The greatest threat is Chinese Communist Party continued overreach over our institutions. We're talking about number one and two are captured. Number three, if we get him in, he's pretty much captured.
Just so the audience understands, you're saying the president and vice president of the United States are captured by the communists, Chinese.
I'm saying that, and I'm not the only one saying that. There's the report. All the Biden criminal syndicate laptop says it for you. And Tony Bobulinski, Tucker Carlson has done a special on this.
The FBI has been captured by the Chinese communists.
Absolutely.
I mean, why would the FBI?
Because everybody downstream from that executive branch, within the executive branch that has been appointed, has basically been appointed at the behest of the interests of the Chinese Communist Party. I hate to say this. I spent 25 years in service trying to defend our Constitution from enemies, foreign and domestic, right? Unfortunately, this is what has taken place because our institutions have failed us. They captured us not only in that space, the FBI manipulating big tech, and then you have these communists at big tech. Remember, they even said it in a hearing in September before Congress, one of the security officers that said that there is a Chinese spy inside of Twitter. Is that Chinese spy James Baker, the former FBI general counsel? Is it Yo-Yo-L, the Twitter handle for Mr. Roth? Who is that Chinese spy? And oh, if I want to remind and fresh your memory, one of the senior officials of the San Francisco field office of the FBI, not only this Elvis Chan guy, but his boss was a guy by the name of Joseph Pientka III, who was one of the founding members of Crossfire Hurricane back in 2016. This level of corruption and link analysis, just disgusting rot in our systems, is just reappearing and reappearing. It's not reappearing. It's never stopped. It's up to you and me, Brandon, to do the absolute body check against these complete captured scum.
How concerned are you about our critical infrastructure?
So, I mean, it goes back to if you have the resident and the vice resident captured and they're doing the bidding of a foreign country, an adversary, everything downstream from that. I mean, I know that's not a specific answer, but bottom line, that's where we're at. Critical infrastructure. When you have purchases going on, I think it was even recently in the Senate hearings where you have Chinese entities that are buying properties. I haven't looked into detail, but if it's coming from a Senate committee hearing, it's something worth looking into because it probably has some merit. So these are things that we need to consider. The way we push back under our current system, because the federal executive branch is captured, we have to rely on governors, bold governors, to go ahead and take back our country, you know, state by state, counties, right? County by county, state by state.
Well, the reason I was going to the grid or the infrastructure is because I'm concerned about the grid. You know, as a former Green Beret commander, when you take down a country, you go after their critical infrastructure. That puts too much chaos.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It keeps their nation in such chaos that you can take advantage of other things while that's going on. Look at this
right,
article.
Sabotage, subversion. I mean,
look at this article right here. Grid Security Now. We had Michael on last week. U.S. continues to import large transformers from China. You know, again, very concerning. What are the chips that are in these transformers? This again, very
Our entire supply chain needs to be reviewed. And as you can recall, remember when President Trump wanted to invoke the Defense Production Act?
Yes.
As it applies to the CCP-19
yes.
Activities. And Peter Navarro was advocating for that. But the head of the CCP-19 task force seem to be pushing back against it. I'm talking about your beloved Mikey Pence, not my beloved Mikey
Pence. Not mine.
Pence, but maybe yours.
No, not
and
mine.
And so why was that? I mean, how captured is Mikey Pence? It goes back to Kevin McCarthy. Why isn't he want – if he becomes the speaker, which actually I shouldn't even say if. In his dream come true, should he be the speaker of the House, he said that he would not impeach Biden. Why? Because he's also – it'd be like impeaching himself for China transgressions, for Ukraine money transgressions. I mean, they're all in on it. This guy is total disgusting. So as far as applies to the grid, buy a generator, have some extra fuel, have a primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency plan for really anything, because I think January is going to be very spicy, and I welcome it.
Why do you welcome it?
I welcome it because it's necessary. And actually, it's going to be less spicy than I had originally thought, because I'd have been saying January is going to be pretty spicy. But with all of Elon's disclosures, you're starting to see more and more people saying what you and I have already seen and done the analysis on, because we're critical thinkers. And so you're going to have fewer people pushing back against the body check correction that's going to take place against this executive branch.
Do you think the FBI is going to now back off and stop raiding the homes of moms and dads and teachers and grandparents and back off, because now they realize that the average American thinks the FBI is basically America's KGB and filled with a bunch of crooks?
Yeah, I'm going to excellent question. I'm going to reframe it this way. Do I think that the criminal domestic terrorist organization known as the FBI is going to stop conducting armed robbery, burglary,
kidnappings,
right? Using that terminology, meaning armed robbery, what? Of a Congress member's cell phone, armed robbery of a CEO of MyPillow in a Hardee's parking lot, kidnapping of Roger Stone in Florida, right? I think that the court of public opinion.
How about covering for child molesters? How about covering for sex trafficking? Didn't they know about Jeffrey Epstein long before that came to the public? Didn't they know about it? Weren't they warned about it? Didn't they turn a blind eye to it?
Similar to having the Hunter Biden laptop for a year plus and then communicating to Twitter saying, oh, that's going to be disinformation, buddy. You know how much credibility the FBI has in a court of public opinion in America, in the globe right now? It's less than zero. And so if you're at the FBI, and I hate to say this, I know folks over there at the FBI, and I slam them every chance that I get, basically saying you need to do something on the inside, or you just need to get out and apply pressure from the outside, because you're complicit in this embarrassment.
You think any of those agents could get together as agents and start arresting some of the people in our government?
That would be phenomenal. That would be superb.
Could some of them start going to judges and getting arrest warrants, privately going to judges as a group, telling the judges what are going on, ask them to sign off on arrest warrants and start arresting some of the people in our government?
I would recommend the following. Governor DeSantis, Governor Abbott, Governor Stitt of Oklahoma, and so on and so forth, you need to go ahead and start expelling your federal agents that are inside of your state for their overreach. And the evidence that you're going to use is, I'm protecting the citizens of my state because of what I just learned on Twitter files 1 through 8. Get out of my state. You are no longer welcome. Go pack your stuff and move. You have 24 hours. You're not persona non grata. Bye. That's what I recommend.
You know, the U.S. Constitution, and particularly the Declaration of Independence, tells us the American people are the ones in charge. We created the government. And after a long train of abuses, not for trivial matters, it says, but after a long train of abuses, the people have the right to alter or abolish this government to bring it back in accord with our organic documents of our nation. I wonder if enough American people are waking up, if enough corruption is being exposed, that we're headed toward, this situation. We have Robert F. Kennedy Jr. coming out in the last 24, 48 hours, saying what most of us knew, that have been studying this case for years and years and years, kind of as a side hobby for myself, and that is that his uncle was murdered by the CIA. His uncle was murdered by the CIA. He said it. We all know it. They were not the only ones involved, but they were involved. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a book called The Nazi Next Door. I've been aware of it since it came out in 2014. I played audio clips today and video clips from my TV show, audio obviously for the radio, because we're on 60 stations from 1 to 2. But I was playing audio and video of the man that wrote the book, which was highlighted by the New York Times, the Washington Post, others. Fix that for me, will you please, Tom?
Two disinformation purveyors, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but even the liberals were saying this was true. Even the liberals were saying, promoting this book. And what it was is that at the founding of the CIA, Dulles.
Alan Dulles.
He went. And he was sitting and having drinks in front of a fireplace speaking German with a man that was the guy right next to Himmler, head of the SS. And they end up working with this dude, and this guy lays out the cases where our intelligence agency brought some 10,000 Nazis. I'm not talking about some 16-year-old kid who they recruited and threatened him and said, stand here, wear this dumb uniform and hold this rifle and guard this, building or whatever. And the kid does it and, goes on with his life and wasn't, involved in doing anything. He was inscripted and forced. I'm not talking about that kind of person. I'm talking about people that were involved in heinous crimes and murders of countless people. Our government knowingly, the intelligence arena, deliberately brought them into the U.S. up to 10,000. And then when the Justice Department in the 80s reportedly started trying to track some of these people down, find them here in the U.S., good old CIA and our intelligence arena start covering for these people. So what I'm trying to say to you is our intelligence arena, particularly the CIA, was compromised almost from day one by a anti-American ideology. Don't forget, it was Dulles. It was Dulles who was involved in the screw-up of the Bay of Pigs. And, of course, that's where John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, said, I'm going to splinter the CIA into 1,000 pieces and throw it in the wind. And they killed him. JFK fired Dulles as the CIA director. And after they blew his brains out, Kennedy's brains out, guess who they put on the Warren Commission? You want one guess? Dulles.
Cover up after cover up. Same thing with the Crossfire Hurricane stuff. Cover up, right? George H.W. Bush was the CIA director, who then became a handler for whom?
Who many people believe, by the way, was
Ronald
the one.
Ronald Reagan's handler?
Yeah, who many people believe was the one standing on the street in Dallas, by the way. George H.
Interesting.
Oh, you haven't seen the picture? You haven't
No.
seen the profile picture of what looks very much like George H. in his typical posture? Oh, or the fact he couldn't remember where he was on that day? Oh, ask Roger Stone about all this. Yeah, and where did they make him? CIA director. And you're right. Who did they put? Where did they put him? Right next to Ronald Reagan. Was that Ronald Reagan's first choice? No, it was not. It was not. I know that for a fact because Michael Reagan is who gave me my start in talk radio, and I've heard him tell the story publicly, so I'm not telling tales out of school. Of course, George H., Mr. New World Order, he's the one that used the word in the Oval Office speech and before Congress. He's the one that signed America into Agenda 21, which is, you know what Agenda 21 is? Agenda 21, Agenda 20, Sustainable Development from the UN is nothing but a Nazi ecology and agenda repackaged. And anyone that doubts me should go get Dr. Mark Musser's book, Nazi Ecology.
So, again, you have a little bit more context and history than I do, since you're a couple months older than me, Brandon. So let's just say this, maybe a couple hours. Let's bring it forward to today's environment that I've been doing a deep dive on.
Okay. How do you know how old I am? Have you gone and researched when I was born and everything?
No, I mean, I'm just making assumptions here. And you know I'm right, but go ahead.
I'm 53. How old are you?
I'm 46. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, maybe we have talked about that off the air. Yeah.
Few months.
Okay.
So, but you look better than me, so I mean, you're good. So check this out.
Going back to your background, you'd done a whole deep dive on me or something.
No, I didn't need to. I mean, Mike Lindell vouches for you. You're good. So number one is that, remember, everyone's talking. I consider all these bureaucrats idiots, to include the Republicans. They're always saying, oh, we're going to go and investigate the 51 intelligence officers that said the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Hey, guys, it was actually 60. If you read the actual memo, 51 of them signed off and agreed to it. And at the bottom, if you read to the end on the where Politico, I call them, published that memo, you have 9 non-signed individuals that also agree with the fact that – well, not the fact, with the false premise and the falsehood that it was a Russian disinformation op. So, yeah, we have to go after 60 intelligence former professionals that – primarily come from the Central Intelligence Agency. Who were they? John Brennan at the top. You had James Clapper. And why were they doing that? Because it's, again, going back to what you said, it's cover up after cover up after cover up after cover up. And I'm so glad that Elon Musk is putting this out. And I look forward to Twitter files 9 through, we got 14 more days till the speakers race. The vote, January 3rd. So we need 14 more Twitter files to be released. and it's going to showcase everything. We might not have to expose as much as we needed to on the House floor with these hearings uncensored on C-SPAN 1, 2, and 3. We could just use it to summarize the Twitter files. So thank you, Elon.
Yeah, well, you're right. And I guess what I'm trying to say is we have been run by an illegitimate federal government at many levels for a long, long, long time.
And then remember Chuck Schumer when he was on Rachel Maddow's show?
Intelligence community has six ways from Sunday to get back at you, Mr. President Trump.
And guess what? They tried six times, and on the sixth time, on January 6th, you get the little I get the hat tip to the 666 there. They temporarily succeeded in a temporary coup that's currently in place to remove a duly elected President Trump. And I suspect that there's growing fervor for his reinstatement, considering of what all the Twitter files are showcasing. Even Tucker is starting to say that this was a totally illegitimate stolen election. Tucker is finally saying it on his programs.
Yeah, and Tucker came out at AmFest and said, the machine should go. We should go only to paper.
Yeah.
We played the
clip. I love Mike Lindell's first tweet after coming back. And they should be melted into prison bars.
So the American people are waking up that we have a government that's been captured from the intelligence arena aside from a long time. And really, you have to ask yourself, why was the intelligence arena, including those folks that were part of it that signed that letter, that this was all Russian disinformation when we now know the laptop was not? Why did all these people have such a vested interest in Joe Biden being president? The reason and the answer is because they were looking for a puppet that they could control and do what they want. They didn't like Donald Trump because he wasn't part of the club. Ronald Reagan wasn't part of the club either. They were not expecting Ronald Reagan. That's why they had to put George H. Bush up next to him, I believe. And of course,
they had to foist Mikey Pence on Donald Trump.
Yep. And so they needed someone they can control. And that's why they needed a Biden. And of course, he's easy to control because I think he has to have, lots and lots of help doing basic, human daily functions. But, you go back to Barack Hussein Obama. I mean, is that his real name? Is Barack Hussein Obama his real name? Is the guy who is this guy? Where did he come from? Or is he a creation of the intelligence arena?
I don't know. You'd have to ask John Brennan about that. Why don't you let's invite John Brennan onto the show, and I'd love to be co-host with you, Brennan. You want to do that?
Yeah, he's welcome. He, John Podesta, all of them are welcome. Live.
Yeah, I'd love to have with every single one of these people. How about let's host a telethon, 5 hours, just one by one. I have quite a few questions that I could ask them.
Absolutely.
It would convict them if they answered it, but whatever. Let's do it.
We're living in very perilous times as a nation, and I guess I'll say this in closing, and then you can respond, and that is, the more the American people wake up, the more dangerous it becomes for America. Because if Americans wake up and realize we're being run by a very corrupt group of people with a corrupt federal government, they have everything to lose. They have everything to lose.
I wouldn't say it becomes more dangerous. It becomes more dangerous to them. They represent less than 1% barely of society.
What I mean is they become.
We're going to devour them, Brandon. Once 99% of this country wakes up, we will devour every single one of them because they live in our communities. They could be my neighbor. And once I find out that you're my neighbor, guess what? I'm going to knock on your door and I'm going to tell you, you're no longer welcome in my neighborhood. You need to move out because now I consider you worse than the pedophile. And these predators, the child predators that are on these lists, get out of my neighborhood. Go find some place to live elsewhere. And then we escalate from there. That's what it's going to take. We're going to continue to escalate with truth. And then the truth is going to wake folks up to then have the courage to say, you know what? We're going to flick you like boogers.
Well, see,
get out of town.
What I'm saying is they become more dangerous in that once enough people wake up and realize the criminal level of things they have done. This is where they collapse the economy. where they allow for attack on our infrastructure or their people or their
right
gang.
In order to save themselves, right?
Yes, they.
I think somebody mentioned
like
me.
Brian
I was talking.
Williams. It's like Brian Williams said. I mean, say what you want, but about Brian Williams, okay, and his past, blah blah blah. I mean, he was a good newscaster as far as the professionalism and the style and everything.
Is it about the restaurant fire analogy?
It's what Brian Williams said when he left. He said they're burning the whole thing down. They're burning down the house with us in it.
Right, because if you're doing a money laundering operation, right, in the back of the restaurant, and there's an investigation going on. This is an analogy. I had a meeting with somebody that's kind of helped me with some of the stuff. He said it's the analogy of the cover-up over the cover-up is going to be done in this manner. Once you investigate and identify that there's money laundering going on at the restaurant, they just burn the whole restaurant down. And so now you're like, wait, I don't want to focus on the money laundering operation because the burning of the restaurant is more interesting and it's more important, right? So cover up after cover up.
Yep.
So you're saying that they're going to burn the house down. And guess what? I don't know what to say other than I have some fire extinguishers and we just need to investigate and who these people that are going to conduct arson.
Listen
so that
to
we
what,
can
you know, and
go
I think,
after them.
I think Brian Williams actually served as an intern for a while in the Nixon White House. And I'm sure he's a progressive in many ways, but man alive, he signed off. This is what Brian Williams said.
Oh, the NBC guy that got kicked off of 11, like, because he was, I was in combat in Bosnia or something like that, right?
Yeah. But I think some even progressives are waking up, right? We saw Naomi Wolf coming this way. We see Steve Kirsch coming this way. We're seeing more and more progressives wake up. I thought this was a really interesting way for Brian Williams to sign off. What he meant by it, I don't know. But listen to a little bit of what he says. See if we can get to it here.
Look at the time. I'll try to keep this brief. After 28 years of peacock logos on much of what I own, it is my choice now to jump without a net into the great unknown, as I do for the first time in my 62 years. My biggest worry is for my country. The truth is, I'm not a liberal or a conservative. I'm an institutionalist. I believe in this place, and in my love of country, I yield to no one. But the darkness on the edge of town has spread to the main roads and highways and neighborhoods. It's now at the local bar and the bowling alley, at the school board and the grocery store, and it must be acknowledged and answered for. Grown men and women who swore an oath to our Constitution, elected by their constituents, possessing the kinds of college degrees I could only dream of, have decided to join the mob and become something they are not, while hoping we somehow forget who they were. They've decided to burn it all down with us inside. That should scare you to no end as much as it scares an aging volunteer fireman. To my coworkers.
Well, there you go. So, again, I don't know what he's saying there.
When was that? Do you remember the date?
Yeah, that was about two or three years ago. About 2-3 years ago.
Yep. And I think people are waking up. We saw what the school board.
I'm going to look up
the
date. You
saw what the FBI tried to do in the school boards.
Yeah,
bring it on, because, I mean, county sheriffs, we're just going to go ahead and arrest you at those county school boards.
December 10th, 2021.
Oh, a year ago. Absolutely. Spot on. I would agree with him. I'm surprised that I'm agreeing with him on something, but he's absolutely spot on in that assessment. And it's on us. I mean, it's on us to make sure that we educate folks, that we keep these corrupted officials, government civil servants, out of positions of power and influence and place them with people that are much more bold and are not compromising in their character so that we can get this thing back. Because look at what they did to us the last 2 years, just in the last 24 months. Absolutely disgusting. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I retired too, because I need to get in this fight. I'm not going to sit by and watch. Under no circumstances under my watch is this country going to go communist. Just, it ain't going to happen. At least while I'm alive.
Yeah. Well, great segment with you. I don't know that we've ever had you on this long.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is an honor. I appreciate you, Brandon. You've been grinding every day. I'm sure a lot of people don't. You've been grinding like every day for I don't know how many years. I appreciate all you've been doing because it's a slog, and you still have that nice smile, unfortunately.
Well, I did say something tonight that shocked one of the guys in the control room. I said, I am so tired I really need a break. I need to be off TV for a while. I'm so tired. And and I said, it's so tiring day in and day out, day in and day out. It just wears you down. And,
well, let me boost your morale.
Well, let me
now,
just say this kid said. He said, one of the guys in the control room said, I never thought I would hear that come out of your mouth. And I said, yeah, well, it's been a long, I've been doing this for over 30 years. My organization, I founded in February of 1993, so 30 years this coming February. But I've been doing I've been doing this since 1990. I wrote my first little book in 1990. I've written 14 books since then on total. And I've been hosting radio for a quarter of a century now, doing radio. And then, of course, I added TV to it several years ago. And so, you know, at this point, 30 plus years I put in, most people are starting to talk retirement. And this has been a tough year and a half because of what our country's going through, right? And you're right. We slug it out every day, every night, trying to alert the American people to what's happening, trying to bring them the knowledge, trying to waken them up, understanding that, you know, as the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's not people perishing for lack of political knowledge or public policy knowledge. It's perishing because they don't have enough of the Bible in them. But I do believe we can also say we can equip them with a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview. And a biblical worldview works for the saved and unsaved. The rain falls on the field of the righteous and the unrighteous, you know. Biblical principles work for the unsaved just as well as they work for the saved. A man who keeps his word and pays his employees and doesn't break his contracts and has a good reputation, those are all biblical principles. And guess what? If he does those, they succeed. So I guess what I'm saying is we've tried hard to bring knowledge to people. Even some people who maybe don't agree with us from our Christian perspective, we can at least educate them to the Judeo-Christian perspectives of what is the purpose of government per Romans 13. And so it's been a tough year and a half because I don't ever remember in all my years having to cover things like this. I mean, the things that we're covering that are so obvious, that are so dangerous, from bioweapons. I mean, we were on the air, live on the air, on my radio show on 60 stations, talking about the virus coming out of the Wuhan laboratory, right? And
The FBI censored it to rename it to COVID.
And while I'm
meanwhile,
on the
it's
air,
the Wuhan flu.
While I'm on the air, there's a TV in the corner, and Fox News is playing big old screen TV with mute, and Fox News is talking about anyone that says it comes out of the Wuhan virus is Wuhan Institute is promoting conspiracy theories. I'm like, well, here I am on the air talking about it. My TV over here on mute says on the bottom screen, this is conspiracy theory. Well, even the idiots at Fox now know what's going on. The point I'm making
is pronounced faux. I get it.
We are constantly pushing against a narrative and a tide.
But we're taking over. I mean, I see it as though you were part of the vanguard to take over. I mean, how many viewers have you had from when you started here on the Lindell TV network to today? It's just exponential, I'm sure, right?
Consistently 4 to 5 million viewers.
Yeah, that's massive. Guess how many Tucker barely gets those numbers on his primetime show. On a good night? I mean, seriously. So I wanted to close with this, Brandon. Yesterday, I think it was, I was at the jury selection in the D.C. District Court. In the heart of the swamp for the Proud Boys jury selection trial. Okay. And as I'm sitting there, I'm looking around, looking at the judge, look over on this side to the left. No one's got a face toilet on. And then as soon as the judge walks into the room, you know, and they say, all rise. I look at the government attorneys and they immediately put their face toilets on. What an absolute abject embarrassment. That is our executive branch members still acting like complete war criminal thug face toilet wearers that are still promoting this nonsense inside of a Article 3 branch of government building in that courtroom. Absolute lunacy. They are an embarrassment. They need to just check themselves at the door and just, you know what? They're the ones that need to hang their hat up. You, Brandon, need to stay in the fight. And I'm jumping in here with you. I'm glad to be part of it.
Well, we're glad you're part of it, and you're becoming a regular face here. And I just, like I said, I just wish you'd told me you were a Green Beret commander when we first met.
I'm wearing green for you today.
Just standing off to the side, stalking me for 3 days at CPAC. I'm like,
No, it wasn't 3 days. It was like a couple months.
Oh, man. All right, so you got your Substack. Throw his Substack up there. Throw his Substack.
Yeah, number five's coming out. This guy's done. He's toast. I'd be surprised if he doesn't bow out before Christmas.
Are you serious? He's probably gonna Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of pressure. Wow. I'm getting calls from very consequential people that have a lot of influence in circles. Over the last couple of days, I've been getting some calls.
Good.
They're like, yeah, keep up the work. As soon as you finish your Substack, they're like, send it to me so I can cross pollinate it in the court of public opinion.
Well, we're not going to get a whole lot done in this country if we get someone who's a deep state operative or controlled.
Right. We're done with that. But it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a slog, just like in Arizona with Carrie Lake you mentioned.
Yep.
It looks like it's going to be a fight. And I think the tide is turning. And if we can secure victory with the new election and then obviously get those top three seats in Arizona, it's game over. Because then we expose the entire electoral operation. And I'm sure Mike Lindell's going to be like, oh, yeah, finally, I've been proven right.
Ivan Raiklin checking in. IvanRaiklin.substack.com. Thank you, Ivan.
Thanks, Brandon, as always.
Merry Christmas.
See you, my brother.
Yeah,
Merry
too,
Christmas
friend.
To you.
Merry Christmas. All right, folks, let me play a little video. Ivan, you might want to watch this. Let me play a little video. When I first met Carrie Lake, Logan and I pulled this video up today. We hadn't seen it since, and I only saw about 30 seconds of it today, so I haven't seen it since it first aired. But she approached me with one assistant with her at CPAC Dallas a year and a half ago. Said, hey, I'm Carrie Lake. I'm running for governor. Would you like to interview me? And I said, yeah, come on over. Like I said earlier, I recognized her. I just couldn't put my finger on how I recognized her. I did figure it out later. I think I even asked her in the interview. Well, I won't play the whole 13 minutes, but watch a little bit of this. Watch this. Welcome back to CPAC Live from Dallas, day three. Joining me now is Carrie Lake. I actually know who she is because we actually used a little clip of her in a documentary. She was on a documentary for National Geographic about power outages, and I said to my son, I recognize her. And then over the last couple of days, I've been thinking, wait a minute, I think she was a broadcaster, and she has some kind of story about what was going on there, and I think she's running something in politics. So I finally just went up and introduced myself to her, and sure enough, and she's agreed to graciously come over and be interviewed here on Lindell TV because she's running for governor in Arizona, and her name is Carrie Lake. Thanks
so
for being
nice
with us.
So nice to be here. Thank
so
you.
So you're a broadcaster?
30 years in television. 27
in Phoenix.
27 in Arizona, Phoenix. But Phoenix is a unique market because it covers so much of the state. More than 80% of the state you reach in the Phoenix market.
Wow.
So
it's a big city. It's one of the biggest cities in America.
It sure is. And the reach of that market is massive. And, of course, Arizona being a swing state. But I didn't leave TV to get into politics. I didn't leave one corrupt industry to go into another corrupt industry. Mm-hmm. I left TV because I didn't feel it was ethical to do that work anymore.
What happened?
Well, obviously, when President Trump came on the scene 5-6 years ago, people lost their minds. And I thought, wow, I looked around at my, you know, my colleagues and thought, why is everybody going crazy over this guy? I mean, we should just cover him like we
cover
news.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't how it went, as everybody
so
knows.
There's a new standard.
There's a new standard. It's destroy the conservatives and destroy. Well, they've always wanted to kind of destroy the conservatives, but they went to a new level with Donald Trump. You could say that they cracked the shells off the nuts, mm-hmm. you know, Donald Trump did. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing. And I could push back and do my own thing and try to keep things on the rails, even though I was surrounded by people who were crazy. But COVID struck. And I think the media went to a new level in trying to stir fear and division and not get the truth out, not get helpful information out that could actually help people in our communities that were scared. It seemed like it was only an effort to scare and make things worse rather than to try to make things better.
Do you know I have a documentary I did on brainwashing? I've been working on this documentary for years. It's called Brainwashed America, and people can watch an hour for free. We put the whole thing out for free. Part one is 2 hours, brainwashedthemovie.com.
Okay.
And in that, I show exactly what you're saying. I took news clips. It took me about 8 hours one day.
Yeah.
And I went and I searched out all the news clips I could find where the newscasters are talking about, is COVID causing you to have fear? Is COVID causing anxiety? And I was able to grab like 10 clips of news stations around the country and put them all together, one after the other, where they're all saying, COVID's causing fear. COVID's causing anxiety. Do you have anxiety? How do you deal with your anxiety? And they kept all using the same word, anxiety. And I used that to show how psychologically
You can use fear and anxiety.
They're suggesting that.
To create a crisis.
Or how about when it was, this is the new normal. This is the new normal.
Yes, yes.
I finally was.
Like, in other words, we're never going to go back to real normal. Yeah, the new normal you've got to accept is the end
we're
of your liberties.
Stuck. Yes, the end of your freedom.
And just accept it because this is normal.
Yeah.
As though that's normal, right?
Yes. You know what I'm talking about then. So I decided, and then the election came around, and that seemed very suspicious. A lot of things happening. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. It went from being biased to unethical, and then we went to a new level of immoral. And I didn't want to sit and read things that I felt were not truthful, not fully truthful. To me, that's lying.
So you gave up a very good career in one of the top markets. Now,
yes, we were number one pretty much the entire time I was there. I started 22 years ago at my last station, and shortly after I started, our ratings started to climb. We became number one and held that for 22 years, which working in television is not an easy feat. I was at the top of my game, making good money, and I just said, at the end of the day, I have to meet my maker, and I want to know that I didn't live for a paycheck. I lived for doing what's right.
Wow. Because if you know broadcasting folks, you can be in the Rockford, Illinois market, or you could be in the Minneapolis market or the Phoenix market, and it's totally different.
Yes.
You were in one of the top television markets in the nation.
Everyone
and you
wants
walked
to
away
come to
from
Phoenix.
It. They all want your job, and you walked
away
from it.
I did.
So tell me about running for governor. What made you want to run, and what is your platform?
I wasn't planning on running for governor, but shortly after I quit, I put a video out, and I told my viewers why I'm leaving and what's happening, and it just flooded with people commenting.
Mm-hmm.
I respect you for doing that. We're going to miss you. Would you consider running for office? Would you consider running for Senate? Would you consider running for governor? And at first I thought, oh, that's kind of sweet. More and more people kept saying that, and then I had a few people who I really respected in policy and in politics, who said, no, really, we need somebody who's conservative, who's a Trump Republican, who cares about Arizona and isn't bought and paid for, doesn't owe political favors. Would you consider it? And so I molded over, and we had a lot of discussion in my family, and we thought this is the right thing to do right now, because Arizonans need somebody who is not a politician, doesn't have a bunch of political favors that they have to pay on day one, and somebody who just cares about the state and doing what's right. And so I decided to do it, and it's been huge. The grassroots support has been intense.
Are you going to have a primary?
Yes. We're running against some other rhinos and Republicans who are not Trump supporters.
And what did Trump say in Ohio 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? And last week in Sarasota, he said the rhinos are worse than the Democrats.
They are worse because they're a wolf in sheep's clothing.
At least the Democrat tells you who they are and what they want.
3 weeks after we announced, we already had enough signatures to be on the ballot. And that is incredible.
It is.
It's the fastest anybody's ever done that in our state.
Okay.
Usually.
So, isn't that fascinating? I have not seen that since we did that day. But Logan said, we should play that sometime. So he went and pulled it out of our archives there. It's a 13-minute interview in total, but our first interview with Carrie Lake a year and a half ago. And the good news is today a judge has agreed to hear her case, which I guess means they're going to get a chance to put Katie Hobbs under oath, right? All right, joining me now, before I mention who's joining me, I'll mention who's joining me. Karen Kingston's going to join me. But before I go to Karen Kingston, let me show you another thing here real quick. I just got a text from Todd Benzman. He just texted me this brand new article out by him at CIS.org, Latin American Media, Migrants Marching North for Title 42's Funeral. Subtitled, Never Mind Last Minute Legal Delays. Untold thousands are already at the international starting line, with many more on the way. Folks, I believe in the new year we're going to have more news to report. I guess we all better rest up a little bit, because it's going to be a flood. They're talking 12,000 to 18,000 a day coming over the border. The Democrat mayor of Denver is already complaining. The system's broke. It's collapsing. They can't handle anymore. Well, you better get ready to handle more. So that's a brand new article out tonight related to this holding of the Title 42 for a few hours by Chief Justice Roberts at the Supreme Court. But never mind last-minute legal delays, says Todd Benzman. Untold thousands are already at the international starting line, with many more to follow. All right, also want to remind you, if you appreciate all we're doing here, folks, we are brought to you by you. Mike Lindell and I have been running this network now since April of 2021. As many of you know, I always had the idea of a Lindell TV after shortly meeting Mike, and it has been a partnership that has been amazing.
Mike and I, as you guys know, work really, really well together. I can just tell you that. The way you see us working together on camera is the same way we work together off camera, by the way. There's nothing different in the relationship and the way we work with each other on camera than in the way you see us work off camera. We work together well. Some people have asked, how is it you guys work so well together? Because I don't want to be Mike Lindell, and I don't think he wants to be Brandon House. I want to be Brandon House, and I want Mike Lindell to be Mike Lindell. And he lets Brandon House be Brandon House. And, you know, I think this is a providential relationship, a providential relationship for now, you know, meaning for this time. And I've been doing what I was doing for so long, And I would say to my wife would say to me often, you're working so hard building up this network and all this technology and stuff you're doing. You know, I said, yeah, I know. And someday, some businessman's going to come along that really appreciates it and understands what I'm trying to do. And I would tell her that. And little did I know that my work would be being interrupted by that businessman with his commercials coming on the TV. And so I had the chance to interview him on radio and television before the election. And it was shortly after January of 2021, I called him and we started talking about things, and I started pitching the idea of a Lindell TV. And we talked about it for many weeks, and Mike graciously agreed, and has been able to take, you know, the work that I was doing for years and years and give it a huge audience. And then to come on the air every night and to agree to take his valuable time to come on the air every night that he could be spending running businesses. And of course, his desire to save the country and fix the country and keep freedoms. And it's been an amazing 18 months. Yes, I'm tired. And we have not really had more than a day or so break here and there in the last 18 months. So we are going to take a few days off for Christmas, and we're going to get rested up. And I'm going to spend a lot of time reading. I have a stack of books. I showed someone today the stack of books that I have, probably about this high, that are about 7 or 8 books I've ordered. I'm going to read a lot. Those are not fictional books. They're books about topics I want to know about so I can bring them to you in the new year. And so I'm going to spend a lot of time during the holiday reading. And we're going to come back, and I think what we're going to have is a real crisis on our border. And we're going to see bus loads and plane loads of people being spread all over this country. And we're going to unfortunately add that to ever-increasing job issues. But they're going to bring in much cheaper labor for those of them that want to work. And I saw a report today, a new study that says people can make more money. I don't know if I believe it. But it's a study that says people can make more living on government money than they can getting a job. I'm not sure I believe that, but I guess it depends on how high you want to set your sights, right? Because in America, I think you can start out from rags and become rich. But maybe people don't have that drive. I do say that to my wife often. What happened to the American drive? Are there not Americans out there that want to go for the full American dream and work hard and work their way up? I owned a commercial cleaning company at one time. I ran that until I could get my first book published. And then I got my first book published, and then I wanted to get on radio. And so, you know, where is the drive now? I wonder if some of it has to do with a shot. I just read a story in a report today that the COVID shot is making many people docile. It's not only killing people, it's making them very docile. It's performing a chemical lobotomy on them, changing their personality, making them angrier, some of them, making them angry, and taking away the drive. We're getting more and more reports of people talking about how it's made people docile. Isn't that what the global elite want? To eliminate us, to eliminate the population, and then that those they don't eliminate make docile? So anyway, I'm so thankful that we have this network, that Mike agreed to come and spend his time here every day, sharing his heart with the listeners and sharing his name with us and his great platform that he built so we can have a place to get together and hear the truth. And it's been a great 18 months. We're looking forward to being with you again in the new year after a few days off. But 2023 is going to be a very interesting year because of all the things lining up. And many of the things lining up are positive. Like we were just saying with Ivan, people are waking up. The people are being exposed. Maybe among praying for salvation for your friends and your lost ones, you know, the people that don't know the Lord, maybe add to your prayer list that the Lord would allow more of these evil people to be exposed. Did you ever think you'd see the day where the FBI and these people be exposed as they're being exposed right now? Pray for more of that. because I think in the new year we're going to see more of it. It's going to get really interesting, and we're going to be here to cover it. So if you appreciate what we're doing, go to this screenshot here, guys. Please go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code B66. If you don't use that code, we don't get credit. Generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this show going, this network going. B66, sheets, towels, blankets, pet bed, slippers, sandals, robes, mattresses, mattress toppers, and so much more. B66, you get savings, we get credit. It works also at mystore.com, the home for American entrepreneurs, mystore.com. Joining me now is Karen Kingston. Karen, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Do you have my slides or no?
Yes, I do. And while I'm getting those slides, checking my email for those slides, let me ask you this. I was reading an article today about people that are reporting that they know that they've gotten the shot and that they become either people who are not angry, and now they're angry people, very angry, have an issue with anger that they never had before, or they were people who were very lively, very energetic, very independent, very driven, and all of a sudden they're extremely docile. Many of them are having memory issues. They can't remember things.
Yeah.
It seems like that's, if this shot isn't killing, it's making people docile, and that seems to be part of the goal. What are your thoughts about this being a type of chemical lobotomy?
Well, it is a neuroweapon, and the James Giordano has stated in his videos that the nanoparticle technology, which was actually the actual bioweapon attack, and that's also what's in the vaccines, can target the central nervous system and can contain neurotoxins. And those neurotoxins can cause anything from mood swings, so anger and disorders, and also can cause lethargy, inability to exercise. Again, that's also called, I'm blanking on what it's called with the EMF attack. So, getting hit with electrical magnetic pulses because the lipid nanoparticles contain something called a cationic lipid, which means that it hosts an electronic charge. So it's not a lipid, it's a smart device. So that technology can cause, again, like lethargy, inability to exercise, memory and whatnot. And then, I don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole, but, I do have the patents on how this can rebuild your central nervous system, from your spinal cord to your brain. So there's a lot that's going on with it. And a lot of what we actually covered last year, Brandon, like when we discussed Anthony Blinken and what was going on with AI, I started sharing some of our old interviews on my Substack, and people thought it was breaking news. So, yeah.
Well, by the way, I just checked my email. I don't have it. So do you want to do a screen share and just show us your screen?
I don't think I can because I'm on Skype, right?
Thomas, can you check in there and see it? Did you send them to me or did you send them to Logan, Karen?
I dropped them in Skype and I just emailed them to you.
Okay, if you just emailed them to me, then I can get them. Okay, because I'm not sitting at Skype. They're sitting at Skype in there. So I'm not. Now, you sure you sent them to me, not Logan, right?
No, I sent them to you. I don't think I have Logan's email.
Okay. Well, I'm still here.
I left the subject blank because I found them.
I don't care about that.
And we should be there at 6:40 p.m. Sorry for the delay. I thought I was going to be on Zoom. So
no problem. It's not come into me yet. But you want to get started, and we'll just hope that comes in. Unless Thomas, you can bring it up if she drops Skype to you in the corner there. But otherwise, before we don't want to run out of time, we'll just let you go.
Yeah, I mean, so what I reported on is what happened in Wuhan. And this is actually very important because I went through and with a fine tooth comb, the DARPA pitch from March 24th of 2018, which was from EcoHealth Alliance and the NIH and Ralph Baric with Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the development of the bioweapon wasn't for a virus. It was to create a chimeric spike protein lipid nanoparticle bat vaccine. And that lipid nanoparticle bat vaccine is the technology that our government officials call SARS-CoV-2 or they'll call it the spike protein, or they'll call it a COVID-19 vaccine. It's all the same bioweapon. And it's really important that people understand that, because as you go through the proposal, you know, Dr. Fauci isn't lying when he said they don't fund gain of function research anymore. I don't know when they put the moratorium on exactly, but, you know, they had created all these mRNA sequences, but they weren't able to infect humans without this lipid nanoparticle technology. So as you go through, you know, if you go to my Substack, Karen Kingston Substack, what happened in Wuhan, I mean, I will take you through step by step in that pitch to the U.S. military for the Department of Advanced Research Projects Agency, and show you how they state right there in the proposal, these are chimeric spike proteins that are incorporated into lipid nanoparticles. We are going to use the SARS-CoV backbone, which is what's known as SARS-CoV-2, and we're going to take those mRNA sequences, those are the computer programs, and we're also going to deliver spike proteins. And those spike proteins are created in lab, and they are neurotoxins that contain neurotoxins that are synthetically recreated from venom and rabies. And so that's what this bioweapon is. And what's important to note as well is that the original attacks, they talk about how they're going to inoculate bats with this humanized bat vaccine. But the challenge is, when you read the proposal, you'll start realizing they're not talking about bats, because they talk about how they're going to segregate bats or categorize them in their study based on their bat age, bat gender, bat age class, which are their social interests. So that doesn't, they're not talking about bats. They also talk about how the U.S. military can track the bats' movements in and out of their bat cave homes. They literally call them bat cave homes. And then they can aerosolize them in bat caves that aren't their bat home. You know, I don't know if it's their bat happy bars or bat workplaces or bat subway. So, I mean, it's that ridiculous. And then, no, but Brandon, this, I wish I could share the screen. So the attack that happened in Wuhan was a coordinated bioweapon attack, not with a virus, but with these nanoparticles. And it says in the proposal as well that EcoHealth Alliance is going to ask for permission from the CDC so they can inoculate wild vampire bats in the United States.
Look at this. It finally came in. Pick it up right there.
Okay, so let's just go quick. So that first image was Jason Murphy saying that this is right there. This is Jason Murphy. He's a sergeant from the U.S. Marines. He was a whistleblower, gave these documents to Project Veritas. He said, what you call SARS-CoV-2 is a bat vaccine. So that's it, right? It's to make a vaccine. Go on to the next slide. What's so important is, why is this important? Oh, you guys skipped the one, the vaccine nanotechnology the NIH owns. Oh, that was the first slide. Vaccine nanotechnology. The CIA, the Department of Defense, the NIH, our U.S. government. Guess what the code word for bioweapon is, Brandon?
What?
Vaccine. That vaccine nanotechnology, which
is
owned
by... The code word for bioweapon is vaccine.
Yes. So when they talk about they're developing a vaccine,
they mean bioweapon.
Yeah, so that patent just shows you that.
And by the way, you didn't hear the show earlier when we were talking about the fact that the first CIA director, Dulles, he went and was sitting in front of a fireplace drinking and talking German with the dude that was the guy right next to Himmler, head of the SS, and they brought in like 10,000 Nazis into America. And I'm talking guys with huge criminal backgrounds, 10,000 Nazis they bring into America. I'll be getting into more of this. People should get the book, The Nazi Next Door, came out in 2014. But the point I was making with Ivan, the retired commander, a Green Beret commander and a constitutional attorney, is our intelligence field has been corrupt for years, for years, yeah. For years. The CIA was bringing Nazis over here and covering for them.
Yeah, it's we're at war with our government.
Yes.
That patent shows you that it says a vaccine technology can deliver a weapon of bio warfare. So I hate to say it, but when Dr. Malone, who worked with our biodefense department for 10 years, said he was the inventor of vaccine mRNA nanotechnology or mRNA vaccines, he was part of creating these bioweapons. I mean, there's no gray area. The patents show by our U.S. government mRNA vaccines or vaccine lipid nanoparticle technology And I believe he assesses that he created the cationic lipid. That's a bioweapon that's been developed by our U.S. military.
Wow. Next slide.
Yeah, not good. So right here, the proposal, what is it? It is SARS little R-CoV, that's SARS-CoV-2, to make recombinant spike proteins that contain synthetic toxins that are neurotoxins and merge it right there, incorporate them into lipid nanoparticles. Right below that image, you see the image of those lipid nanoparticles. Those are images from peer-reviewed publications on the vaccine lipid nanoparticles. To the right is the spike protein that was sequenced out of Philadelphia. If you go on the next slide, I'm just going to bring this together. It says right there, what's the deliverable? They're not creating a bioweapon, okay, out of Wuhan. They're creating a vaccine where they can use delivery mechanisms such as aerosol attacks, surface contamination, and food and beverage contamination to inoculate bats with their vaccine. Again, to them, it's not a bioweapon, even though it dampens their immune system. And we'll just keep going. And also, you know, induces death. Here on the left-hand side, you have images from the DARPA pitch for the chimeric spike protein bat vaccine. It looks like the spike proteins. To the right, you have a peer-reviewed publication of what the nanoparticle technology looks like in the vaccines. They're the same thing. The bioweapon bat vaccine spike protein is the technology in the vaccine. And we were not attacked by a virus. We were attacked by these advanced nanotechnologies. So if you keep going, oh, and the mRNA is just a sequence. So these are, you can call them humanized bat vaccines. You can call them spike proteins. You can call them bioweapons. You can call them mRNA lipid nanoparticles. They're all different words for the exact same thing. And they're highly infectious, and they can cause severe disease, disabilities, and death, and hijack your immune system and your central nervous system. This is what our U.S. military developed. Keep going. This is an image, I presented this on your show before. It's like February of 2021. That is the lipid nanotechnology. It is biotechnology. It is part living and part technology. To the left are the ingredients in Pfizer's, the four ingredients of these lipid nanoparticle technologies. Keep going, because I mean, I want people to see, like, this is not, you know, again, those images, they're biosynthetic. They are actually living material. They do contain hydrogel. And I really got to come back on, because one of the phospholipids that's listed, I looked at the manufacturers up through the FDA database, 15 of them are in China, and those people manufacture living, biosynthetic living materials. So who knows what's in these injections and what we were aerosolized with. But again, do I have evidence that, yes, there's lipid nanoparticles in Pfizer's vaccines? Says it right there. Their mRNA travels in a lipid nanoparticle, which is a bioweapon, which is a bat vaccine, which can be used to inoculate people aerosol or in a needle. If you keep going, it gets really... So what does Pfizer say? We can use our mRNA lipid nanoparticles to turn your body into medicine factories. Look at that assembly line right there where it says protein. It's not that we're medicine factories. They're going to turn us into biosynthetic bioweapon factories. That's what this does. This is straight from Pfizer's website. Like, this is what I said before. They're not talking about bat. I mean, they're talking about bat homes, bat age, bat. I mean, it's ridiculous. So that was just right here. I'm just showing you, because it's obvious as you read the proposal, they're talking about human beings. So why is this important? Because our government's no longer serving the American people, obviously. I mean, they're at war with us. And I'm not sure if this matters or not. But the point is that COVID-19 was not caused by a virus. It was caused by an advanced lipid nanoparticle technology, period. That's it. The public health declaration by Secretary Azar, all right, going back to January 27th and then on February 4th and March 27th, is all based on a novel coronavirus. There was no virus. This whole thing's based on fraud. So if there were people who actually were serving the American people and would actually pick up the phone and call me, I can provide you all the evidence to show that this declaration is based on fraud. Why is that important? Just keep going through the slide. Because this is what provides immunity to everyone, all the manufacturers, all the government, all the healthcare workers, all the schools. We proved that this was all based on fraud. The immunity shield is completely gone. Now, let's just walk through what this declaration originally said from February 4th. That was the one for national security risk. Keep going. He states, Secretary Azar, that it is COVID-19 is a respiratory disease. It is not. It is a multi-system inflammatory disease and neurological disease. And he says it's caused by SARS-CoV-2 beta coronavirus or a virus. It is not. He goes on to say it's similar to MERS and SARS. It is not. This is all fraudulent. And go on to the next slide. Not only do I have the evidence in our government documents, okay, and in the military documents and in the patents, but I also have evidence in peer-reviewed journals. I also have evidence straight from Dr. Fauci himself. So Secretary Azar on February 4th says this is just like SARS and MERS. On February 28th, Dr. Anthony Fauci says, no, it's not. It's nothing like SARS and MERS. It's more like the seasonal flu, which makes me wonder what causes the seasonal flu now. So keep going. So he also states here that there's a public health emergency. That's what caused all these mandates, lockdowns. Apparently, they were able to take away all of our constitutional and unalienable God-given rights. But again, he says that the emergency is based on SARS-CoV-2, which is a virus. And so that's all fraud. It wasn't. And if you go on to the next slide, one of the things too, this is important. I also have the early data out of Wuhan where they sequenced the people, the first nine people at the Wuhan seafood market. And the sequences for SARS-CoV-2 didn't match up because if you read the proposal, the mRNA can produce a virus in someone's body, but they can't infect someone else. But they had over 200 viruses, mRNA sequences locked and loaded when they unleashed these things. But it says right here, March 27th, when he authorized the use of biologics, so vaccines and medical devices. This is interesting because we've talked about this before, Brandon. He's Secretary Azar says that he also declared that circumstances exist justifying authorization of emergency use medical devices, including alternative products used as medical devices. What are those alternative products? Military-grade bioweapons. That's what they are.
Wow.
So if you keep, I've got it all. I think I'm the only person. So again, what is James Giordano? What has he told us? Look, we can't use lipid nanoparticle technology on a civilian population because it goes against military warfare ethics and laws because they are such horrible weapons of mass destruction. However, if under health exemptions, such as an experiment, we may be able to use these on a civilian population. It's all right there. It's their words. All the words match up, the pictures match up, everything matches up. They've declared the U.S. Department of Defense, Health and Human Services, government has declared war on us.
And I don't know, you didn't see the interview. I know you didn't see the interview with Ivan Rakin, the retired commander, Green Beret commander, and constitutional attorney. We were talking about the fact that the White House has been captured. The vice presidency been captured. The presidency been captured. The FBI's been captured. You got some, 60 or close to 60 former intelligence people saying the Hunter Biden laptop is disinformation, Russian disinformation. That's a lie. They're covering. I mean, the only reason you do this is because you are in on the game. You're benefiting from the captured nation. You work for the same people. So our government's been captured by China, at least, which would explain why our government. Many of those people in the government are working on behalf of their bosses, China, and allowing this bioweapon to be spread and then doing the things that would spread it. And then, of course, destroying our businesses with lockdown, our religious liberty, our freedom of speech, all of that. And then they push the bioweapon, which is given in a shot.
Yeah, all these shots. Actually, all medical countermeasures need to be seized and recalled. They by U.S. title code. 18175, they meet the definition of a bioweapon. They don't prevent infection, they don't prevent disease, and they were not done under bona fide research. And I have all this evidence. And Brandon, come back and talk to me.
We need to get you back on more regularly.
I want to think the DeSantis, his petition for the grand jury, I read it. It's not enough. One of the claims is based on the FDA approval of the opioid crisis, and that they made fraudulent claims. Well, that claim in and of itself is extrinsic fraud. Okay, there's no these are bioweapons that are fraudulently marketed as vaccines. The Food and Drug Consumer Protection laws in Florida for an approved drug There's no, they don't have standing under that law. There's no standing there. So it's not enough. And, you know, I would love to speak, you know, to a constitutional attorney. I'm ready to put forward documents.
Oh, well, then I need to put you with Ivan Rakin. He's a fighter. I need to put you two guys together. I'll put you in a text together tonight. Let me ask you in the closing minutes here, because I'm sure people would love your feedback on this, because we haven't talked about this. Well, hold the music 1 second, guys. Just knock that music down for 1 minute. Tell me your quick thoughts on the October of this year, catastrophic contagion scenario they've run, which they're predicting this event where 20 million are infected, 15 million children, millions are dead, including, like, I mean, I think they talk about millions of children dead. It's like polio. People are, it's paralysis, it's a neurological problem, and it's going to come out, they're predicting in their little scenario, 2025. Well, that, I mean, that's a scenario. It could come out next year, 2024. I have no idea. But we, I don't know if you know this or not, we've had attorney Nicole Pearson on here showing us from California the paperwork, $78 million built to build a COVID camp in Orange County, California, completion date December 2024. So what are they planning here, Karen, do you think?
They're going to use the lipid nanoparticle technology to contaminate our resource supply. So everything from our food, they're already contaminating the food. They're already, and they're going to contaminate the water supply. They're going to aerosolize it more. So it's not that this is going to be a choice whether or not you are inoculated with this gene editing, hybridization, bioweapon.
What can you do to protect yourself?
The only thing we can do is honestly stand up to the government. I mean, I have the prediction for the lipid nanoparticle manufacturing market. It's multi-trillion dollars over 10 years. The top 25 manufacturers are the top 25 manufacturers of vaccines and gene editing technologies. Wow. These are not, there's 20, no, you know, but you can understand, like, 25 multi-billion dollar global companies like Santen and Sanofi and
right.
Pfizer, J&J, and Bayer, and all, they don't all manufacture lipid nanoparticle technology for vaccines. This stuff is going in everything. This has all nothing. Right. This is a partnership with Microsoft. It's not. We need to take action and actually go state by state, governor to governor,
right,
and
right.
find who's serving us and who's serving the tyrants.
Yep.
We just have to do that.
We got
to
get you back. What's your Substack, Karen?
Karen Kingston Substack.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks.
We'll be
Merry
getting
Christmas.
Her back. Merry Christmas. Thanks. Karen Kingston, Bye. One of our favorites, been on here for, well, regularly for a long time now, folks. A voice crying in the wilderness, if you will. All right, if you appreciate what we're doing, don't forget about us in your end of the year giving. WVWFoundation.com, if you want to put that up there, Thomas. WVWFoundation.com. You can also use our number, 901-468-9357, for your end of the year support. We appreciate the fact that we're putting out truth. Well, so that people can understand the times through the lens of a biblical worldview, a Christian worldview, and know how to respond. That's what my foundation's all about. Also, since 2015, I do a Sunday night service, 8 p.m. Central Time on Sunday nights. Our foundation is the host and sponsor of that. WVWFoundation.com, WVWFoundation.com. Thank you for remembering us in your end-of-the-year support. Well, till next time, I'm Brandon House. And by the way, I got a big show for you Thursday night. Live show with a special guest in studio. I'm not telling you who, what, where, why for security reasons, but I have a big guest live Thursday night in studio. You don't want to miss it. Till next time, I'm Brandon House. Thanks for watching. Take care.
Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again, WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW TV broadcasts.